Okay, so the NBA draft lottery just wrapped up about a good 10 minutes ago. I'm Edward Schuler. Salim Sudarwala is here, is with me. And this is the post-NBA draft lottery edition of Bulls Gold, episode 38. It may be 39. I'm not sure. But
no, 39. 39.
Okay, it's episode 39. So, again, this is just after the lottery. Everything is wrapping up. The New Orleans Pelicans are going to get Zion Williamson. They have the number one overall pick. We're going to just start with the draft order of how everything shook out. New Orleans got number one. Memphis got number two. The Knicks got three. Lakers four. Cavs five. Suns six. Bulls seven. We can stop there after that. Probably not relevant to Bulls fans and what they want to hear right now. But, Salim, we both have a lot of thoughts going on right now. We took a few minutes to get everything, you know, to settle down a little bit before we started recording. Let me just get your, before we start getting into detailed things about what the plan is now going forward, let me just get your, like, raw thoughts right now on what just happened.
This is the new draft lottery, man. Mm. I you and I have been talking about this, like, all season, right?
Yeah.
Like, we've been saying, hey, expect the craziest outcomes because these odds, that's how they're set up. Like, there's no more process. There's no more the process. Like, last year was the last year for any team to really tank hard and try to get in a top three pick or the number one pick. But here on out, you're going to see more teams like this happen. Like, you're going to see teams like the Lakers or, like, you know, Memphis at number six and things like that. New Orleans at number six, at seventh, at eighth spot. That's going to probably be the ninth around there. That's probably going to be more of a sweet spot here on out, where you're going to see some teams more consistently jump out. And more you're going to not see your bottom five teams or your bottom three teams. Bottom three teams not even be in the top three at all. So, yeah, that's it's crazy.
It's wild, man. Just to recap, so New Orleans jumped up six spots to number one. Memphis jumped up six spots to number two. The Knicks fell two spots. The Lakers jumped up seven spots to number four. So this was the first year where instead of usually doing a top three, we have a top four with the lottery determines. And
yeah, because it's four now. It's not three anymore. It's four to jump into the top four which is the lottery now.
Yeah, and as you said, we got absolute chaos. Like this, if you're the NBA, this couldn't be a more perfect result because you put a new system in to kill tanking, and it killed tanking and then some. It killed tanking, brought it back to life, and then killed it again. Only one team in the bottom five. Or the top five, I guess, whatever you want to call it. But only one team in the top five, and that's the Knicks.
They got a top four pick. Yeah,
got a top four pick. That's just insane. It's just like I was telling you when we were texting, when the Lakers jumped up, I was a little nervous after that. I was like, okay, well, that's just one team. I think we were talking about, like, we figured that one team would at least jump up real high. So I was like, okay, that'll be that one team. When New Orleans jumped up, I was just like, oh crap. that was it. I was like, oh my God. I was like, we're seven. We're seven or six. Like, we're not. Like, when Atlanta was number eight, I was just like, that's it. It was just, oh man. It was really just crazy. But, yeah, those are my raw thoughts here about it. Like, this is just showing what the plan is moving forward, that you can't really do these perennial tanks anymore. You actually have to go out, field a decent team, and if you lose games, you lose games, but your plan can't really be based around, okay, tank to the bottom, whatever happens, happens anymore. Like, that's just, it's not reasonable anymore. And this, everything that happened tonight just showed it. And It was a really bad result, man. It was a really bad result. But it's not over yet, though. So there's some silver lining to all of this. And Salim, me and you were just talking about it. The Bulls draft history is pretty good in the lottery. And the last 2 years, they've drafted well at number seven, Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. So how confident are you right now? Granted, we're out of Zion, we're out of Morant, most likely, we're out of Barrett. You know, so how confident are you that the Bulls can get a pretty good player right now at number seven in this draft class?
I mean, I'm confident that they'll be able to get a solid role player, like maybe like a starting caliber player. I expect the Garpacks to go ahead and look at guys that have good pedigree and, you know, are hard workers and things like that. I don't expect them to take a risk. You know, I kind of want to go back to my swing for the fences pick here at number seven with Sekou Doumbouya. I'll probably look at him, take a really hard look at him just because he has so much potential. But I mean, I can see Garpacks going with more of a safer pick, like a DeAndre Hunter, who's talented, no doubt. But I don't think he has, you know, like I said, he doesn't have that star potential. I think he probably is more like a, you know, he's probably like an Otto Porter.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison.
That's what caliber player he is. Mm-hmm. And I know, and it's really, and it's two type of things. And overall, I have two different thoughts right now. Like what my head says. And what my heart says, right? Mm-hmm. So my head says, okay, well, if this isn't in the end of the world, because, you know, you've seen teams like the Bucks, Toronto, San Antonio, name the team. You've seen they didn't get their Kawhi Leonard's, their Giannis Antetokounmpo's, their whatever, you know, from a top two pick, top three pick. They did it by slowly building a team, drafting well. They hit, you know, with their mid lottery to middle of the first round picks. And then they made smart moves in free agency, made good trades, and slowly built. And all of a sudden, boom, you have this contender, right? This really good team that could be legitimately get into the finals. That's what my head says, right?
Yeah.
But my heart says, I don't trust Garpacks. Because I haven't seen them do those other things. I've seen them draft well, but I haven't seen them trade for the superstar. I haven't seen them being able to sign a star in free agency or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm conflicted right now. And I guess we'll see what happens next year. And obviously another factor that could change everything is, like you and I were talking before we started recording, if Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine consistently play like they did last year at their highest level, if they play like that consistently, that changes everything again, right? Because those two right there are perennial all-star, superstar caliber players, because Zach was playing at a legit all-star, perennial all-star level. Lauri looked like a franchise talent in February. If that happens, if miraculously, I feel like it would have to take a lot for that to happen. So just because we've seen only small sample size of Lauri doing that, I feel more confident in LaVine playing consistently like the way he did last year than I would about Lauri becoming that franchise for sure superstar. So like I said, the two thoughts, the way my head is like, okay, I can see it. We can still build. But my heart is where I just don't trust Garpacks to be able to finish this through. And I think they're going to be, at the end when it's said and done, it's going to be a middling playoff team where, you know, they'll be first, second round exits, and, you know, it'll be another good try-hard Bulls team. We'll have good memories, but I don't think we're really going to be competing for titles.
I think you made a really good point. I think you made a lot of good points, actually. And I like what you mentioned about, you look at the teams that are left in the playoffs right now, Portland, Golden State, Toronto, and Milwaukee. None of these teams tanked to get their cores. Giannis was, 14th overall. They traded for Middleton and Bledsoe. Of course, Golden State, Curry, 7th overall. They signed KD in free agency, Thompson, 11th pick. Portland, Dame Lillard, 6th pick. McCollum wasn't even a lottery pick. Who's the other team? Toronto, they got Kawhi in a trade. Lowry wasn't a lottery pick. Siakam, 27 pick overall. So in terms of team building, you hit the nail on the head. Like, it's not over. It's not over at the draft lottery. You know, like, there's good ways to build that team. But as you mentioned, the Bulls have never really slayed that beast, so to speak. They've never traded for the star. They never really signed the star. So there's definitely some pessimism to really express in that regard, hoping that they can do it in that way. We know they can draft well. And, you know, truth be told, I think they're going to get a good player from number seven. Like, just based on history, really the only, like, bust the Bulls have drafted in the lottery, like, is Tyrus Thomas. Like, Doug McDermott, I mean, he wasn't a good player, but, I mean, he's a role player, you know. That's not, you know, I wouldn't say that's quite, but like, quite a bust, but they drafted a lot of good players in the lottery. And I'm looking on Tankathon right now, and, you know, they haven't updated their mock, at least their player rankings, in 9 days, but right now they have Zion at one, RJ at two, Ja at three. Then it gets interesting when you go Culver at four to the Lakers, five at DeAndre Hunter to the Cavs, six Cam Reddish, I don't think that's going to happen, to Phoenix, and then the Bulls get Darius Garland at seven. So if we're trying to project what's going to happen in the lottery, I think we know one, two, and three in whatever order is pretty much a done deal, like Morant, Barrett, Zion. But once you get the four, it really could be up in the air. I mean, do the Lakers take a point guard? I don't think so. I don't think the Lakers take Garland or White. You get the Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland's taking a point guard. They have Sexton. I mean, I think they would have taken Ja maybe if they got the number two, but I think that's probably a wing. So Phoenix is where things get interesting because they need a point guard. And Darius Garland would, you know, theoretically could be on the board there, right? So, you know, I wonder how Phoenix and Chicago would really shake up there. You know, I think if the Bulls are dead set on getting a point guard, then they are taking Garland or White at six or seven. Because after that, you start getting into like a Jackson Hayes of Texas, Sekou Doumbouya, who I like you, I like Doumbouya a lot. I like that as a swing for the fences pick. Then you get into like Brandon Clark and Bol Bol and Romeo Langford and Kevin Porter Jr., Nasir Little. So, you know, if we're trying to project who the Bulls take right now, all hope may not be lost right now. Because, you know, to me, I really like Darius Garland. I really like Darius Garland. And if it were up to me, I'd be doing anything in my power to try to get Garland. I think he's going to be a very good player. And I think he fits that prototypical type of point guard that you want in today's league. So, you know, again, I don't think all hope is really lost at number seven. Who do you think right now is the, like, just based off like projections, who do you think is going to be available at seven?
So, yeah, I mean, it's looking like outside Phoenix is really our only battle for point guard. So Casey Johnson just tweeted again after talking to John Paxson. He said, so while this is a tweet from Casey Johnson again. So while obviously not guaranteeing anything, Bulls VP John Paxson conceded that dropping to seven could bring positional need more into play than best player available. So I think that's a clear sign that it's going to be point guard that they're going to be looking at. So the two players that come to mind right off the bat, again, obviously, is Darius Garland and then Coby White. Mm-hmm. Is the other guy. Garland, I I've been talking to you the last, you know, a week or two, and I've been getting more on his bandwagon too. You know, I wouldn't be upset with Garland. He's very skilled. I see him as a good scorer. I'm not sure about his point guard ability as far as playmaking. I see him more as a better ball handling Ben Gordon. Mm-hmm. Like a guy that can shoot lights out. I don't know if he's a good point guard because you looked at his assist to turnover ratio. It wasn't very good, but he could shoot the rock. Like that dude can shoot. Like, what, I think he's shot 47% at the college three or something like that.
Yeah.
So he can shoot. Kobe White is probably about the same, right? He's not a point guard. He's more of a combo guard. So I think of more a guy like Brogdon when I think of him, right? A combo guard.
Yeah, I like
that. Can handle. What's that?
Yeah, I like that comparison a lot.
Yeah, kind of like handle the ball. He can shoot. Bigger guard, so he would add length to your lineup. That's the type of thing I look at. And personally, like I said, you know, I'm all about, with this draft being the way how weak it is, I would much rather we'll see what happens too, because you're gonna get, you know, obviously they're gonna bring all these guys in for workouts, right? And Sekou is in that range that the Bulls are going to be drafting in. So I feel like they'll bring him in, work him out. And I feel like if his measurables are off the chart to me. And I really like that Pascal Siakam comparison for him, because he's that combo, 3-4 combo where he can play on the perimeter inside. He's length, he's athletic, he can put the ball on the floor. He's shown ability to handle, but he's still improving in that regard. But he's very raw overall, and he's young, where you can see maybe down the line he can become a superstar player if he lives up to his potential. So, I mean, like I said, not all hope is lost, but like my heart just says, like, I don't trust Garpax because I don't know if they can continue to build properly. Like, will they get to a point where, you know, where they're at a fork in the road, in a sense, and instead of making the right turn, they take the wrong turn and they end up like extending a bunch of mediocre players, or they just in free agency they sign really bad players that like Jabari Parker or something like that, or Rip Hamilton or something like that, and just kind of becomes like, man, that's a waste of money, waste of cap. You're limiting our ceiling and things like that. So I don't know. I'll be a believer in Garpax when I see them do it. And I want to see them do it. I want to see them prove me wrong so I can eat crow and I can be excited about the Bulls playing into May and having long playoff runs. But that's what I'm at. Like I said, I'm still at that. I'm at that, you know, my head says, okay, we're not going to be too bad. But my heart keeps coming back at me. It's like, no, don't trust Garpax.
So there was a report earlier today that came out before all the before the draft lottery, and it was talking about I think Joe Cowley. I didn't see the actual article, but I saw a bunch of headlines with it where, you know, Joe Cowley brought up the possibility that the Bulls would call the Lakers about Lonzo Ball if they had if they dropped out of a top three, or if they didn't get a top three pick. Lonzo Ball, with this question, I'm not even just focusing on Lonzo Ball, but would you trade the pick? Like, what's the likelihood you think that the Bulls should trade this pick to get a player who is maybe more known right now, maybe not even necessarily a finished product like Lonzo Ball, could be someone else, but what do you think of the chance of the Bulls trading the pick for a young player who may not have fulfilled his potential yet, still has high value, that could potentially benefit with this Bulls team?
That's a possibility, but it's hard to see, right? Like, okay, what young players out there that you see that has a bunch of potential, but a team's going to be willing to move that player? Mm. And I can only think of a thing is like looking at point guards. No one trades a point guard that they see as a big part of their future, right? No one's going to give us a young point guard that can be a big part of another team's future. Mm-hmm. And even, like I said, a young player that you're trading for, teams that have young players that they want to trade, they tend to want to trade those young players to get a veteran that can maybe like a package deal to improve a roster spot or upgrade the roster. Not necessarily. They're not trading young players for lottery picks, right?
Yeah.
That have young promising players for lottery pick to kind of start over. I mean, I guess if you want to take a risky pick, like, is that what you mean more so? Like a player that hasn't lived up to his hype, but maybe he could have a potential if he changes scenery type of thing?
Yeah, that's, or even, not even just that, but, you know, there was rumors a few weeks ago, or not even like a few weeks ago, but maybe last month that the Bulls might be interested in Jrue Holiday. So if it's not a young player who still has like enticing potential, or maybe it's a veteran that you could get in his prime, like Jrue Holiday, who might be expensive, but would give you a lot of bang for your buck instead of relying on another young player, would you?
Yeah. You know, I don't. That's just the tough part, because you trade for a guy like Jrue Holiday that can't. And while drafting a young unknown player is still kind of technically fool's gold, where you're still hoping on potential, trading it for Jrue Holiday, it captures ceiling right off the bat, saying, okay, well, that's now you're relying solely on Lowry and LaVine to really live up to that. And Wendell, sorry, I can't live up Wendell, who I'm still very high on. As far as I don't see Wendell as a superstar by any means, but I do see him as a, you know, I've said all year, I see him as a defensive player of the year caliber player in his prime. But then you're really banking on those guys to turn into one of those guys to turn into a franchise talent. While I like our young core, I like them. I do not see a guy that can turn into Giannis, or turn into a Kawhi, or turn into a James Harden. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't see that. I see guys that can maybe be very nice players, can be maybe make an all-star team here or there. But I don't know if I see that type of franchise talent where you're going to be able to contend and make long playoff runs around these type of players. So, and that's what I'm saying. And that comes back to trading the pick. If you're trading the pick and capping your ceiling, that right there, like I said, you're capping your ceiling when you trade for a Jrue Holiday. And I absolutely hate the idea of trading for Alonzo Ball. I hate the idea of trading for another point guard that cannot shoot the ball. And it's not just, you know, him eventually learning to shoot. His mechanics are just awful too. So it just, that comes into play where it's like, man, I don't know if he'll ever even be able to be a good shooter because he just doesn't have good form on his shot. So like I said, I'm very hesitant about trading the pick unless you're trading the pick along with another player to get the all-star that becomes available. Like someone that's a star right now that becomes available and you're combining the pick with another one or our players to get that player.
So Jonathan Givony of Draft Express just tweeted his first stab at a mock draft, and he has Zion, Morant, RJ. He has the Lakers taking Garland, Cavs taking Hunter, Suns taking Culver, and Bulls taking Kobe White. So, and combining that with the tweet that you mentioned about Casey Johnson saying that John Paxson may be in a position right now in this draft to prioritize need over best player available, you know, you would have White over Reddish and Dumbaya, Brandon Clark and Bowles still on the board as well. You know, looking at this more and more, it really does seem like the Bulls will get Garland or White. One of those players, I think. Like, I would say I'm pretty optimistic that will happen. Now, I like the Malcolm Brogdon comparison that you mentioned because, you know, Kobe White, while he's not a, you know, really talented off-the-dribble scorer or creator, you know, he's a good three-point shooter with his feet set. He'll make the open shot. He'll move the ball well. He's a okay athlete, you know, and he can score in spurts too when you ask him to. It doesn't raise your ceiling, but I think it does give you a wider supporting cast net. And, you know, we've talked about this before where we, you know, when you can't get a star, you got to keep building that supporting cast as well as you possibly can. You got to keep building up assets. You got to keep hitting on picks. And, you know, a player like White, even though he's not my first option. I think his floor seems relatively high, where he'll play decent defense. He'll hit threes. You know, he'll move the ball. So, you know, it sucks that right now I'm trying to talk myself into Kobe White after all of this. It really sucks. Like, that's what I'm ourselves up. Yeah, it's such a come down from everything else. But, you know, I don't think all hope is lost. Like, I think that's the central theme here. All hope is not lost. Like, I know a lot of Bulls fans right now who are listening to this are just like, they're probably feeling just like us. Like, oh man, this is the worst thing. Like, we're picking at 7 for a third straight year. All these losses, they're leading to nothing. Like, this is the route we chose. You know, this is the route that was popular, to rebuild, to tank, to let the draft lottery dictate your future. And this is, you know, this is what we have right now. We have Kobe White, maybe. We have DeAndre Hunter, possibly. We might draft Cam Reddish, who probably had one of the worst seasons ever for a player who was projected to go really high in the draft a year ago. Like, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's really crazy. But I haven't given up things. But we're coming up. Do you have any closing thoughts on the draft lottery? I know we wanted to keep this short, but, you know, we're giving our raw reactions here. Do you have any kind of additional thoughts here about this?
No, I mean, we'll see what happens now. I think we're going to be a lot of back and forth on who we take. Mm-hmm. It's probably, you and I are probably be consistent on who to take, but I think you're going to see a lot of around, you know, local media and a lot of Bulls fans, what they want to do with the pick. We've already seen it on Real GM where people are like, oh, we should trade it. And then the people that want to take a shot for Lonzo Ball and stuff like that. There's still room for a lot of discussion, right? Because we are in this position where there's not a for sure player there for us to take. That's like, yeah, that guy is, we cannot pass on that guy. Mm. So that's the thing with this draft, that there isn't that kind of talent at around that 7th pick. So it'll be interesting, and I'm hoping that Gar and Pax have learned from their past mistakes, and I hope that they can, you know, change it up this time and know how to build, continue to build, like we talk about, and not just throw in the towel and end up making bad decisions that ends up making this team a very mediocre, like a Detroit Pistons type of team, essentially, that the current Detroit Pistons type of team or the Hornets type of team, where we're just kind of bond, you know, in kind of that basketball hell.
I agree with you. And I'll say this much right now. Darius Garland is still my long shot hope. But more realistically, I think I'm leaning towards your thinking, and I'm thinking it's either Sekou Doumbouya for me, or it's either Kobe White.
And yeah, to me.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Yeah, to me, like I said, I am on that Doumbouya train. Like, I'd rather they risk it, and I won't hate them for it. Like, I'll say it right now, and I won't hate them for it, because I'll see the rationale behind it. Because you want to find that franchise level talent, and you can, and I know point guard is a necessity. We need to find a point guard. You can always draft a point guard next year too. You know, I would hate for them to try to rush into, and I know they have probably feel pressure for making the playoffs because you've got the All-Star game coming in next year. You know, I mean, they still have some money in free agency. You can maybe sign somebody to hold you over for a season, you know, kind of just see, maybe you might have to overpay now to bring a guy here that might not want to come here. Maybe a 2-year deal to like Beverly, overpay him to come here. He can kind of, you know, be that stopgap point guard until you draft one next year or find somebody better down the line. But I would hate for them to pass on a guy like Doumbouya, even though I know Garland and Kobe White are needs. I feel like we'll see, though. And as we get closer to the draft, I'm sure we'll get a better picture of who some of these guys are, because we'll hear how they do in the combines and private workouts. And, you know, if this guy, you know, just completely blows it out of the water in his private workouts, I feel like they should just take the risk and take him.
I think you make a good point about free agency, that it probably raises the need now to go after someone in free agency who's more proven, like a Patrick Beverley or someone like that. We talked about a number of point guard options who will be available this year, but you know, one of the small silver linings about all of this, it's not a great one, but you know, dropping from 4 to 7 does free up more cap space for the Bulls just by the rookie cap hold. So it's a small thing. I don't think people will really care about it, but you know, it's a small thing that could, you know, help if the Bulls are trying to get, you know, to fill out the rest of their roster using cap space, because I know Michael Reinsdorf has talked about that. KC Johnson has been tweeting some stuff from John Paxson. He said, my mind immediately went to the fact that 3 of the top 4 are going out west and New York didn't get number one. So that's something in our favor. He also said, we've gone on our board already, and there are more than 7 players there that we like. And I think that's all I see from John Paxson right now. But everything that happened tonight is just really crazy. We're all still really processing this, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what things are like, especially with the combine. The combine is this weekend, right? That starts Thursday.
These guys are going to start coming in, and I'm interested to see how it was exciting. And as far as not related to the Bulls, and I know we don't have shot him anymore, obviously, but Zion is staying in the combine, which is surprising. Because he has nothing to gain by going to the combine. That's what it's looking like. I want to be blown away by his measurables. Like, he's going to come in with like a 45-inch vertical or something like that.
50-inch vertical.
he's just gonna jump and keep jumping at one point.
I wonder if he would play in those like 5-on-5 scrimmages that they do. Like, is he just gonna like just go just to do this for like shits and giggles? Like,
I don't think. It'll be interesting to see him in summer league. He's just gonna go in and like a freight train and dunk every second.
Oh my god, that summer! You know what? If I'm the team that has Zion, I might play him one summer league game, and then I'm shutting it down.
Yeah,
I'm shutting it down. No chance. I'm taking that risk, man. Too many players are gonna be out there trying to prove something against him. I'm good. So.
And I'll tell him to see if he can shed about 10-15 pounds, like. Obviously, he's not, and I'm not saying he's fat or anything, but like maybe just tone down a little bit, because if he can get down to like 265 even, 260, 265, I think that would be a sweet spot for him without losing a lot of his strength. Mm. Like, he would still be strong, but it could make him a lot more agile, and not this, he's already agile as hell, but I mean, it'd make him a lot like easier on, like make him that much lighter on his feet, man, he would just be a nightmare.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how his, how NBA trainers or, you know, the Pelicans kind of, you know, try to steer him in terms of like his body and his diet and things like that. Ooh, that's definitely going to be something really interesting to watch, because I agree. I don't think he necessarily, like, he doesn't need to like cut like crazy, but like he doesn't necessarily need to be, what is he, 285, 270? I don't think he needs to be that like that. We were talking about the Pelicans before the show, and Sham Sharani has tweeted out. He said that even though Zion could ease the potential trade of Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis's stance on a trade has not changed. So that's interesting. But I mean, that's a blessing though for New Orleans, though.
They could get both Barrett maybe and Zion. That'd be a nice, you know, start over.
That's crazy how it turned out, though, that because they got Anthony Davis when Chris Paul left, and now they're going to get Zion when Anthony Davis left.
Hey, man.
Some teams just have the luck, and then other teams draft at number 7.
Yep. It's like the unlucky numbers. Number 7 is supposed to be lucky. We got 7 3 years in a row.
it's
It's like you when you go to the casino, you want to get 3 sevens in a row, but we don't.
We don't want number seven at all. At least 1.7 was good. That was like our only good 7, 1.7, but
yeah,
7 overall.
That seems to be like, you know, we're waiting for the 7th banner.
Oh, God, you're right. You're right. Oh, man. Yeah, that's...
All these 7s are haunting us. Like, is that 7th banner going to happen?
Oh, you're right. Oh, that's so depressing. Okay, any closing thoughts before we get out of here, man?
No, you know, we'll have a lot more coming up. Yeah. Obviously, we're going to try to get more... We'll have a lot more. I'm sure PAX and them are going to have a conference. So maybe we'll next week we'll do another. Obviously, we'll do another podcast and get our thoughts on those the things going on in that regards. But yeah, man, it's we'll see what happens. It's I guess it's not the end of the world, but you know it's a bummer.
It is a big bummer. John Paxson is going to be on 670 to score. Tomorrow at 8 a.m. I'm not sure if that's Central or Eastern Standard Time, but he'll be on the score tomorrow, and he'll probably be talking about the draft lottery and what the plan is moving forward. So, yeah, we'll be looking forward to that. We'll have plenty of draft discussion coming up. Give us a follow on Twitter, at Bulls Gold. We're going to have a lot of episodes about the draft coming up. Going to talk to a lot of different people that we'll be having on the show. Want to give a quick shout-out to Michael Walton, who joined us last week. That was a really great, really great episode. He was very, very informative on a lot of the Bulls' options. Interestingly enough, in the top 7 of this draft. So if you want to go back and you know, get a really good listen and good feel for some of the prospects, I definitely encourage you to go back and listen to the episode that we recorded last week with Michael Walton. Just a really, really informative listening could help you sway, you know, your opinion on some of these prospects that are now in the Bulls' range. So check that out. We'll be looking forward to getting him back on here now that we know where the Bulls will be picking. So, yeah, a lot of draft discussion coming up, and we'll be on it. So this has been episode 38. No, wait, you said 30 or 39?
39.
This has been episode 39 of Bulls Gold, and we will catch you next week, Bulls fans.